Moscow is speaking and showing. This is Valery Solovey. This is episode 212 of What's Happening, which you'll see on Monday, October 13th, between 1 o'clock and 2 p.m. Moscow time. The main topics of today's episode: old Trump hasn't lost his temper. Threats, shelling of capitals. At the end of this paragraph, a question mark. And where attention goes, there's power. Dear friends, one of the intrigues, social intrigues, well, social and political intrigues, of the past week was the awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize, which, as we all know, American President Donald Trump was a contender for, and not without reason. After he didn't receive this prize, although in my opinion, and not only mine, he more than deserved it. It's quite possible that he will receive it next year, unless, of course, new wars break out. We must be realistic about this. So, after this, there was speculation, based, among other things, on the opinions of some insiders, that the American president might now lose his appetite for peacekeeping, and in particular, for resolving the latest unresolved conflict, the Russian-Ukrainian armed confrontation. But no. It seems that old Trump hasn't lost his nerve. Moreover, he's spurring on the parties that are pursuing this Russian-Ukrainian track. I'm referring to both so-called President Putin, or more accurately, in this case, the Kremlinites, and Ukrainian President Zelensky, with whom Trump had two conversations over the weekend. Yes, dear friends, but he did have a conversation with so-called Putin on Tuesday, despite the fact that they were silent about it. And it's understandable why they kept it quiet, because it would probably look rather strange and undesirable, from the perspective of American public opinion, and not just American public opinion, for the American president to congratulate the Russian dictator. Nevertheless, they did have a conversation on Tuesday, and it was quite fruitful, but that was before the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded. So, the American president is inclined to stick to his previous line of reaching a peace agreement, or at least the first phase of a truce, between the Russian Federation and Ukraine. What is he using to achieve this? Well, as they used to joke in the presidential administration, in this case, it's not the American administration, but the Russian administration. Flattery, lies, blackmail, death threats. Yes, of course, the American president is using blackmail. And in this regard, remember, I said, the topic of Tomahawks, which allegedly could be transferred to Ukraine, came up. And now, after all this insinuation, President Trump himself has publicly stated that, yes, he is ready to transfer Tomahawks to Ukraine in order to persuade, well, Russia to conclude a truce. In other words, he has openly and publicly admitted that he is engaging in blackmail. However, such things happen all the time in international politics. Another very interesting element of blackmail is the alleged leak of information about the Americans providing Ukraine with sensitive intelligence that helped and continues to help Ukrainian drones strike Russian oil refineries. And, as you understand, as you know, these strikes have already led to a gasoline shortage in the Russian Federation. This, incidentally, is one of the reasons why such a humiliating approach to President Aliyev was taken by the Russian double. He had to admit, he had to acknowledge, Russia's responsibility for the downing of the Azerbaijani MBR. And, in general, the Russian side complied with all the demands that the Azerbaijani side, President Aliyev, publicly formulated, made of it, that is, admit guilt, responsibility, and apologize. Of course, all of this was said through clenched teeth and with foolish attempts at justification, self-justification, and compensation for the victims. The Russian side agreed to all of this for a very clear reason. It needs gasoline, among other things, perhaps even more than anything else. Therefore, there was no point in prolonging this senseless, absolutely senseless, and completely unjustified confrontation with Azerbaijan. Especially since influential Turkey is on Azerbaijan's side and behind it. So, the intelligence information allegedly came from the Americans to the Ukrainians. But the thing is, in this case, If you believe the gossip, it's a two-way street. According to these gossips, if this is all true, both the first assumption, the Ukrainian side's supply of sensitive intelligence, and the second assumption, which I will now bring to your esteemed attention and information, are supported. The second assumption is that the Americans supplied Russia with sensitive information on how Russian missiles could bypass the defense system being built by American patriots deployed and defending, in particular, Kyiv. It's very interesting, really, a two-way street, if both of these assumptions are true. Unfortunately, I can't pass judgment. I don't have the means to verify this information yet, but I will, of course, verify this information in due course and then inform you whether it was true or inaccurate. Well, I would say that this was also an element of blackmail, quite possibly. And now the second point of the review is, I would say, my favorite column, Dear Editor, you warned me. Dear Editor, during their online statements, they warned about a regional purge. I said this, but, so to speak, this message was classified, but now, I think, it can be made public, that the regional purge will escalate and approach the Russian capitals, St. Petersburg and Moscow. And in this case, the shelling of headquarters, or, if you prefer, the shelling of the capitals, seems to be beginning. So far, it's purely a testing stance. What do I mean? That the court has arrested Nikitina, head of the St. Petersburg Regional Control Center. He arrested her on charges of fraud. Nikitina is very close to the governor of St. Petersburg, Beglov, a very close person. This is how they're approaching the final phase of the regional purges, as I already said, targeting the capitals, that is, the Moscow mayor's office and the St. Petersburg governorship. Incidentally, it's very telling that Nikitina was immediately taken from St. Petersburg to Moscow. And it's clear why. I think you're perfectly aware that even if the local authorities in St. Petersburg, in particular Governor Beglov and Governor Beglov's patron, could help her, it would be much, much more difficult to help Nikitina in Moscow. But here, it will be much easier for her accomplice to extract confessions from her against the city leadership, including, in this case, St. Petersburg Governor Beglov. I've already told you several times that the authorities, whether you call them competent or incompetent, that's up to you, operate in ever-narrowing concentric circles in such cases. They first reach out to the outskirts of a regional figure, in this case the governor or mayor, and then begin to approach the mayor himself, extracting confessions, working their way up the chain, from the bottom up. In this case, this logic and this practice are revealed in all their beauty. We'll see where this leads. I wouldn't dare say that arrests will be made or a vote of no confidence will be passed on, say, Beglov or Mayor Sobyanin in the near future, but I can tell you for sure that they are under attack. They and, most importantly, their inner circle. And as you know, the way things work in Russia is that you have to shoot down the steps. And, of course, these people will be ready to shoot down the steps and turn in anyone. In turn, those they turn in will be willing to do anything to get the minimum sentence, and perhaps even get away with it. What's that about spiders fighting in a jar? Russia is like a giant jar filled with very fat, well-fed tarantulas, who are starting to crush and strangle each other. It only takes someone to shake this jar. And we know who's shaking this jar now. Who is shaking it? It's being shaken precisely by the very same people who are now systematically, step by step, implementing the transition. I've spoken a lot about the logic of the transition, about the structure of the transition, and in recent days, I've been saying that the transition is entering its central phase. The central phase of the transition, the central point, is the replacement of the supreme power in the Russian Federation. This will happen in the coming months. In any case, you must understand that this central point is still the same process. That is, when they announce who will now be acting prime minister, it will happen soon. And then they will inform us that the president intends not to retire, but to hand over the reins of power to young, energetic politicians, while he himself, from a distance, will exercise his wisest, I would say, leadership. This is only the visible part, the tip of the iceberg, I would say. As you know, only 1/7 of the iceberg is above the surface, and 1/7 is underwater. I repeat once again that transition is a process. I will speak more specifically about this revolution from above, with details and particulars. You see how important it is to attend my online speeches. Those who attended them were not at all surprised by Nikitina's arrest. For them, everything became clear where things are heading. The matter, the direction, and who is heading. So, the online meeting on October 30th, a revolution from above. You'll find the connection link in the description of this video and in the first pinned comment to this video, at the top. You can follow this link and sign up for the online meeting, paying, of course. If you can't pay because you're outside the Russian Federation, the same link provides contact information for the organizers. Please write or call them, or better yet, write. They try to be accommodating in such cases. And yes, the question that people constantly ask is, the meeting starts on October 30th at 8 p.m. Moscow time. Can I watch it at a different time? Quote, yes, anytime convenient for you. Well, meetings, video meetings, will be posted in your personal account. Those who join will learn a lot of interesting things, not only about domestic Russian politics, but also about international politics and how the conclusion of a peace treaty, or at least the first stage of a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine, is approaching, truly approaching. Let me remind you that just at the end of last week, former Ukrainian Prime Minister Tymoshenko said that, according to her confidential information, the parties were close to concluding a ceasefire. I can only confirm this leak. And, by the way, let me remind you that 2 weeks ago, the head of the Ukrainian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Security said that the Ukrainian side was proceeding on the assumption that a ceasefire would be concluded this year, that is, before the new year. Or, as my sources are already saying, perhaps early next year, although they also very much hope that these are the people actively involved in the practical implementation of the process, preparing the ceasefire process, they will, I hope, manage to conclude it before the new year. And finally, in connection with the transition, in connection with peace, the final point of today's review, which I called, Where Attention Is, There Is Power. As someone who has successfully worked in PR and is quite knowledgeable about it, I can tell you that I am a good specialist. And this is evident, it is evident, I would say, by the results of my work. I would even say, a very good specialist, I tell you, with Bolshevik modesty and my characteristic, party directness. So, where attention is directed, where the bulge is created, where the attention is, there the energy is directed, there the resources are directed, where the attention is, there is power. So, if you look at how the media and news cycle is shaping up lately, you will suddenly see, or maybe not suddenly, perhaps you have already noticed, that this media news cycle is beginning to converge on one specific person. This person is named Dmitry Nikolaevich Patrushev, first deputy prime minister and son of Nikolai Platonovich Patrushev. Incidentally, coincidence, indeed a coincidence, Dmitry Patrushev has a birthday today. I'm not asking you to congratulate him, just remember. His birthday is October 13th. I don't rule out that next year this date will be widely publicized. And even if you don't want to know his birthday, you'll still have to find out. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'll be talking about this specifically, along with many other interesting things. As I already said, on October 30th during my online meeting. Dear friends, if you have any questions about what I said or what I didn't say in this short episode, it's short by necessity because, as I've said in previous episodes, I'm covering trends, not facts. You already know the facts, and facts can be interpreted in different ways. Knowing where the trends are heading is crucial, an absolute prerequisite for understanding. I know where the trends are heading. I'm introducing you to these trends. So, if you have any questions, please, I'll try to answer them on October 16th as part of the top questions column. but so that I understand that these are questions, and not a retort or interjection like, footnotes, to express indignation or admiration. Write the word, question, first in capital letters, preferably capital letters, or put a few question marks. Then I will be able to separate the retorts from the questions. It will be easier for me, and you will have a much better chance of getting an answer to your questions. Dear friends, take care of yourselves. We will really, really need our health in the next month. I would say, we will need it more than before. You will not cease to be surprised in the coming months. By the way, I will too, perhaps to a lesser extent than you, but nevertheless, I too will be surprised. In general, Russia is a country where sometimes it is empty, sometimes it is thick. Here we live, living under nothing from the country. And then suddenly, everything starts to go, and it keeps getting worse. This escalating process has a way of affecting our health, both physical and mental. So please take care of it. I will be with you until our victory, and then further, and longer. So that this victory is absolutely guaranteed, although I say it's inevitable. That's true, please help us to the best of your ability. Help us in any way you can, morally, with information, and financially. Again, it's really not that difficult to do. In the description of this video, in the first pinned comment, you can see the bank details and phone number for the fast payment system. You can use any method that's convenient or convenient for you. The main thing is for you to know that all these methods are absolutely, in my case, absolutely safe for you. I emphasize this for a reason, so that you don't have any fears or anxieties. And know this, dear friends, know it firmly and don't doubt it. No matter how difficult things are now, victory will be ours. It will definitely be ours.